Good morning, everyone. Welcome to It's Your Community. Vanessa Denha-Garmo here with Epiphany Communications and Coaching. And I'm bringing on a guest who's been on the show before. He's talked with us about PR strategy and his book that he authored on the radio, Behind the Scenes on the Radio. And I'm bringing him back because I want to talk about 2023 and looking at public relations nationally, locally, globally, and the strategies people use as we move forward in the new year. Don Tanner is a founding partner of Tanner Friedman. He offers more than 35 years of strategic communications counsel and experience in virtually all industry sectors, including automotive, professional services, technology, nonprofits, healthcare, and real estate. Don, welcome back to It's Your Community.
Thank you very much. 35 years, I feel like I need to sit down and rest for a minute. Oh, yeah, I am sitting down.
It's a pleasure having you on. And in 2022, Don was inducted in the PRSA Detroit Hall of Fame. So congratulations, Don, on that as well.
Well, thank you. And same to my business partner, Matt Friedman. But that there may have been a, you know, maybe we need to, maybe need, there should be a recount, but we'll take it.
No, you deserve it. I've known you guys for a long time, back when I had my full-time reporter's hat on, and we're colleagues in public communications today, we do things a little differently in terms of the kind of clients, because I do a lot more coaching today than ever. But right. We've worked alongside each other for a long time, and you and Matt do really good work. You're really stellar in the work that you do and giving your perspective on communications and public relations. So let's look at 2023. And when we look at this new year, what are some of the PR successes and PR failures from a local, national, or global standpoint, in your opinion, Don?
Yeah, I think a few really stand out. One that I really, it's kind of a bittersweet story, but a lot of positives there. And I look at, there were a lot of PR components in the Detroit Lions this year. And I think back to when, there was first news that HBO was considering having the Lions on Hard Knocks. And there were a lot of people that thought, oh, that's really cool. And other people saying, well, maybe they should focus on winning. This is last summer or last spring. And Hard Knocks came on. It was a phenomenal watch. It was really inspiring, to go behind the scenes and see the players, the Aiden Hutchinson and the new players, and really see Dan Campbell and what a leader he was. And then, of course, there was kind of a letdown then when the season started 1-6, but the way they came back and finished with a winning season, a hair's edge away from the playoffs. And I look at that as a real kind of brilliant PR move by the Lions to embark on that HBO series. Again, could have been a distraction, but I think there were a lot of positives there.
Okay, great example. And you know what? It's nice to root for the Lions in a positive way, right?
They were fun to watch. They were fun to watch.
Yeah, they were. Mm-hmm. They were this year. Yeah.
I think, and also, we look at some PR positives in the past year. And very recently, Peter Batia with the Detroit Free Press, stepping down at the Free Press to save jobs and of other journalists there. Very selfless act and really aimed at preserving the local free press, which is harder and harder every day and so important. And it seems like every December there are layoffs in newspapers in particular. And it was such a, sorry to see him go and move on to other things, but I thought what a positive, PR move. Not that he did it for positive PR, but since we're talking about positives and PR, that really stood out.
He did it for a positive reason, which ended up being positive PR.
Absolutely. I think a few failures out there. I mean, one that's kind of a failure / positive is, if you look at how scores of companies, sponsors handled the ramblings of Kanye West, their client, the kind of anti-Semitic hate speech that Kanye West continued to propagate and get out there. And it really forced scores of companies, from Adidas to Gap to Peloton and many, many others to cut ties and walk away. And, in PR, you need to think about your clients, but you have to do the right thing. You have to do what's right for your brand, but you have to do what's right from a humanistic standpoint as well. And I think, some negative messages from Kanye West led to some positive moves by these companies that they need to. And some people look at that as cancel culture. I like to look at that as is something more of you know, there are ramifications for actions, and that was an interesting dynamic from this past year as well.
So we're talking with Don Tanner today from Tanner Friedman. We're talking about PR successes and failures and looking forward to 2023. Go ahead, Don. What else have you observed that people should pay attention to? You know, I want to go back to Kanye West, not to harp on him, but just in general, over the years, a lot of people have put their foot in their mouth on different, on different issues. Right. And there's always been consequences to how we communicate. I mean, this is what we do for a living, you know, and helping people communicate strategically and intentionally. And so it's just not the Kanye West. These stories have been going on for years, right? Don, we've seen this in our careers where, you know, people say things. We've seen this with Women on the View, with Whoopi Goldberg, with all these things that, and they had to come out and apologize. It just amazes me that it continues. Like there's always somebody saying something like, really, did you just say that?
Yeah. And I mean, that was the word I was looking for, consequence, you know, consequence culture. And there are consequences for your actions. Now, you know, we all hope that, you know, I mean, Kanye West, actually, I'm not a clinical therapist, but he obviously, I think he's bipolar and could use some help in that area. And, you know, you hope he would seek some type of professional help to just get better as a person, but there are consequences for actions like that. Yeah. We see it over and over again.
Yeah. We've seen these for years. I mean, so good observation. We got to think before we talk and think about where our thoughts are coming from and how intentional are we with our communication. So what else have you observed, Don?
Yeah, I think, you know, on a national level as well, you know, it's been interesting. And maybe that's not a strong enough word to watch Elon Musk and Twitter. And now he's handled that. And, you know, Twitter's a loaded barrel. I mean, we could talk about Twitter for several shows, but, you know, it's interesting. And he's a character. He doesn't always think before he talks, or some of the things he talks, he wants to have people stand up and pay attention. He likes to be colorful, but, you know, someone who said he would come in and he really was espousing freedom of speech. And it just seems like early on, he's kind of taking things a bit in the opposite direction, you know, and eliminating scores of fact checkers and his watchdog personnel and reinstating some people that are questionable, you know, and some that espouse conspiracy theories and hate speech and things like that. Some have been let back and then they were banned again. But he also, you know, banned several journalists that openly criticized him. I think one he said, you know, had coordinates that showed where he and his family were. But so it'll be interesting to see what happens with Twitter. He has alienated again a number of sponsors, and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. You know, I do know, I see your point too on that. I understand where you're coming from, but if you talk to a lot of conservatives, Don, when it came to Twitter, they were canceled out and eliminated for even just talking about faith-based stuff that wasn't offensive. I mean, I know actually a priest who actually commented about people praying for the rioters in 2020, and they actually took him off Twitter. So there are things like that. So you look at it both ways, that, you know, I understand canceling out hate speech and conspiracy theorists, and I get that. You know, that causes a lot of, I think, chaos in the country when you have all of that going on. But, you know, there are a lot of people that tell you they were canceled out before Elon took over because of their conservative views, you know, their faith views. So
absolutely. All good points. And, you know, I think we all know people that are, you know, that are paused on Facebook. put in Facebook jail for it when they're like, wow, this is what I said. Is that really that bad?
Yeah. So,
I think what we're saying, you know, all of us should think before we speak or text or tweet or whatever, and hopefully we're not saying things that are hurtful to others.
If
we could all kind of abide by that, maybe we'd all be better off.
Yeah, and be very strategic. I mean, that's what you do. That's what we do for a living. We're very strategic in our thought process and how we communicate and how we help our clients, because what we've noticed this in our careers too, Don, being 35 years in the business you've been in, is that we've seen a lot of people that, you know, do things off the seat of their pants, you know, without thinking things through. And that gets into a PR mess quick.
Right. Yeah. And it can affect your business. People, and whether it's, you know, a B2C or B2B, you know, people that tend to want to do a business with people they respect and not necessarily agree with on all elements, but it's, there can be ramifications to what you say. And, you know, I know when social media first came around, you know, the kind of the rule of thumb for me and what I recommended to clients is don't put anything on social media that you wouldn't want to have on the front page of a newspaper.
Great advice. Great advice. Yeah.
We kind of forget how powerful the printed word can be.
You know, to that point, Don, I think you make a really good point. And that's great advice you're giving your clients. How many times do we read articles or see news commentary or news clippings where people's tweets and Facebook posts are included in the story? Reporters go to their social media to see how they're commenting, and then they include that in the story.
All the time. Yeah.
That's a great point.
Not to get into politics, but political leaders out there often not holding a press briefing or a press conference. It's they're tweeting. And so that's always an interesting dynamic.
Oh, that's a good point. Whether you're Republican or Democrat or independent, whatever, you're right. They're not holding press conferences, but if they're tweeting, it's going to end up in the paper if it's relevant to a story.
Yeah. Newspaper, radio,
yeah.
TV, yeah. All of the above. Absolutely. Yeah.
Great and point.
A lot of times that's strategic and that's done for a reason.
Yeah.
They know it's going to be covered.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Don Tanner, let's talk about what you think will be top of mind as we head into 2023. You know, there's a lot of talk I've been reading about the economy and are we really in a recession and will we be in a recession for the next year? And what do you think is the PR, you know, media perspective of 2023? What do you think is going to be like talked about in the next year?
Yeah. I think economy and recession for now, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. I think it's also on the minds of you know, the media in general and how they're adapting and adjusting to the economy and the recession. I mean, we talked earlier about how especially print media continues to constrict, and you see a lot in radio and television as well. And I think the media is getting better at monetizing their news product. I think there's a better appetite for paywalls and subscription portals and a lot of things that early on, as especially newspapers were trying to figure out the best way to put their product out online and giving it away for free. I think there seems to be a more of an understanding that, oh, you know what, I need to pay these media outlets for their content to keep them alive. And it's so vital to, again, to keep the free press, you know, up and running. But media is interesting about what they're going to cover over the next year. You know, I mean, Russia and Ukraine is going to continue, I think, to unfortunately be, you know, heavy in the news. And another year from now, we'll be talking more about the next presidential election. And maybe, you know, the climate and weather and what's happening there. I think I just heard a story on the radio today. I think the last 4 years were the four hottest years on record. Whatever in our history. So, or at least as long as we've been keeping track. So whatever you think of climate change and whatever your opinion is on that, I think it'll continue to be something that's covered quite a bit in the media.
So, Don, when it comes to creating PR strategies, what are some of the basic one-on-one things people should keep in mind? And, you know, and maybe you could tie in some of the top mistakes you've seen over your years. You're like, wow, I can't believe they just did that type of thing. So what are the basics we should know in terms of strategy? And what are some of the mistakes you've seen over the years?
Yeah, I think if you're, you know, thinking of a PR or marketing strategy or branding strategy, you know, it's what's the business objective? What is it that first and foremost you want to accomplish? You know, company A, B, or C, and figure out from that objective, you know, who you're trying to reach, who's your audience, who you want to target. And then, you know, it's figuring out the best way to reach them. Is it, through traditional media? Is it through social media? Is it through other avenues of marketing, you know, that didn't exist 20 years ago, you know, creating your own, the web's been around now, but e-blasts or video. You know, it's so it's again, what are you trying to do? Who do you want to reach? How's the best way to reach them? And what's really, really key is what sets you apart from the competition? You know, what we call in the business, you know, key messages. What are your key messages? what are the things that are going to resonate with clients or potential clients and compel them to action, to work with you, to buy your product, are really the keys. And I think, you know, in terms of mistakes, it's kind of the opposite of the things I just mentioned. It's not knowing your audience. You're not targeting your audience in the right way and with the right mediums. I've worked with clients over the past that I might say, you know what, we really should do a social media campaign. And the client might say, you know, social media, I'm not on social media. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on LinkedIn. I don't see it. And what I have to say to them is, but is your potential audience on social media? In that case, it's not about you. It's about where are the people you want to reach.
Yeah.
And so getting to think beyond yourself is really key. I think those are, you know, following the fundamentals. If the fundamentals are done right and the messages are compelling, you get those messages out to the right people in the right way, you know, chances are you're going to be successful.
Yeah. I love the message. Targeted audience is so important. Sometimes you see people putting out things to general audiences and like, do you think the whole world really cares about that one little niche? No. You know what I mean? Are you targeting the people who care about that one little niche? So I think it's a really important message, Don. And in terms of, you know, in the work that we do, Don, you've seen this a lot in your career, is crisis communications, right? And I've dealt with crisis when I was in Wayne County as a press secretary, and I covered crisis stories. You know, what have some of the failures in terms of companies who don't handle a crisis correctly? I mean, we know in our experience that there's certain things you do and should do even before a crisis happens. What are some of the things that you have seen people do that are just really bad ways of managing a crisis?
Yeah. I've seen, and you have too, I'm sure, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I think what you really see is that always works against an organization or whatever. And you know, we've seen it a lot in, I won't mention the schools or universities in recent years, but where you wait too long to do something about the problem.
Yes.
You know, good, you try point. To bury your head in the sand and hope it goes away or it doesn't get discovered. And that's totally not the way to do it. You know, honesty, transparency, because the question will always come about, you know, who knew what, when, and what did you do about it? Well, what, you know, you knew about this 2 years ago and you did nothing. So it's always good to get ahead of those types of things. I mean, many companies have a crisis communications team, you know, ready to go the moment there's a crisis. You know, and so some companies over the years have done it very, very well. Some universities have done it very, very well. And then you look at, you know, what happened recently with Spirit Airlines, where there was just a total breakdown in operations and communications, yeah, both internally and externally. You know, they have pilots posting on social media, I can't get a hold of anybody at Spirit. I'm in this town. I'm ready to fly. And I mean, just terrible. And I think the companies that do it right understand they have to address it. They have to, you know, apologize and figure out how to correct the problem, you know, have a resolve to make things right. And then reassuring that those things are not going to happen again. There have been corrective actions in process. And then finally to not just walk the talk, but walk the walk, you know, prove, mm-hmm, that you've made those corrective changes to, mm-hmm, to whatever the problem was originally.
Yeah. We're talking with Don Tanner, founding partner of Tanner Friedman, author of the book, No Static at All, a behind the scenes journey through radio and pop music, with 35 years of strategic communications, counsel, and experience in virtually all industry sectors, including automotive, professional services, technology, nonprofit, healthcare, and real estate. Don, what else do you want to share with our listeners in terms of, you know, PR strategy, branding? What are the things that they need to keep in mind? What other message you want to share with them?
You know, I think we've covered, you know, covered the majority of it. I mean, there are times if you don't know, you know, if you're a company that's just starting out and you say, you know, I really don't know who we are. I mean, how do we develop a business objective and how do we figure out our audience when we don't really know who we are? And sometimes companies need to go through, you know, a brand exercise to really have all stakeholders of the company and perhaps potential clients, you know, sitting down together and hashing out, you know, what are your core values? Depending on the type of company it's, you know, what is your mission? What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to be known for? How do you stand apart? And I think that's the real first case. I think some companies rush into marketing campaigns or PR campaigns, and they haven't done some of the legwork up front, or maybe they didn't know how to do that work up front to figure out who they are. Because if you don't know who you are, you're not going to be able to attract others to be a part of what you are.
So good. So good. Great yeah. point.
So Great I think point. That's the key. That's really the starting point.
Great point, Don. Don, you've been in this business for a long time. You had worked in radio, print journalism, and broadcast journalism. We have very similar paths. And, you know, I'm sure everybody in our business has had some favorite memories. Can you share a favorite memory with us, whether it be in the media or in your PR work, or do you have a fun story you can share with us?
You know, I think the thing that I've found most fun and rewarding, and I, you know, it's not really a funny story, but is just the ability over the years to be able to go into different colleges and universities, whether it's Wayne State or U of M or Michigan State or whatever it is. I'm going to be speaking at Oakland University here in a couple of weeks as well. And it's just being able to go in and meet CMU. I can't leave them out, but go in and speak to these young students and talk about PR and how it's such an amazing industry. I mean, I've had the good fortune over the years to work with companies like Volkswagen of America and launching major cars and shooting video B-roll along Pacific Coast Highway, or, you know, working with the Woodward Dream Cruise or the Detroit yeah. Zoo. So I think it's just, it's being able to mentor and work with great clients and some of the clients that I've worked with, it, especially Volkswagen and Northwest Airlines back in the day, were just great mentors to my career early on. Just to watch amazing people work and put their faith in me has been really rewarding.
One of the last questions I want to ask you, because Don and I met, I believe we met, Don, if I'm not mistaken, up at Mackinac Island at the policy conference many, many years ago. And I bring that up because you and I are big proponents in networking, right? And it's a big part of what we do for a living. And I know you and Matt have given a talk at the Mackinac Policy Conference on helping people make the best of the conference, the first time attendees, right? And can you speak to our listeners really quickly before we let you go about, you know, do you have a great networking tip for them?
And it's interesting. Networking is so important. And I know a lot of people have kind of taken to working at home and maybe not able to get out because of the pandemic and networking, but it's so important to have that face-to-face with people. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I when I'm out at a networking event, I don't worry about how many business cards I'm going to have. I'm not worried about how many touch points. I typically, you know, I'll give a real quick example. You're doing a kind of a speed networking event one night. This wasn't dating. This was business.
Yeah. But, yeah.
And so you had 5 minutes and you moved on 5 minutes. And invariably I listened for about 4 minutes and then I talked for the final 30 seconds. And I think really listening is really important. And I do the same thing working with prospective client. I'll never go in and say, here's what you should be doing. This is what I think. First thing to do is listen. I think we don't listen enough. And I think that's invaluable in networking and just really in everyday life. And if you're married, that's important too.
I couldn't agree more, Don. Great advice. Great way to end this show. Thank you so much. Say hi to Matt for me. Thanks for joining us. Don Tanner from Tanner Friedman. Thank you for being with us here.
Thank you so much.
Don Tanner again from Tanner Friedman on Public Relations. Do you have any questions or comments, show topics you want us to get to me, Vanessa Denha. You can go to Epiphany Communications and Coaching. You could find me on LinkedIn, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, and private message me on any of my social media platforms as well. As always, we remind you to connect, communicate, and to collaborate with your community. We'll catch you next time right here on It's Your Community.